you have your Bible with you, we ask that you turn with us to the 12th chapter of the book of Paul's letter to the Roman church. Romans chapter 12, and while that everybody is turning there, this book was written in approximately 56 to 59 A.D. They can't really decide the exact date, so they just put a great safety margin there. It was during Paul's third missionary journey. He was at Corinth, and his heart was upon setting forth the doctrines that even today are most commonly believed among ourselves. This that God has done is not by accident. I love that song or that poem that said that nothing is by accident. Even whenever the brothers sang about Noah, that was not by accident. The fact that you are here today is not by accident. But I believe today that God has a purpose and has something in mind and something that He wants to do in each and every heart today according to your heart's needs. And so in the book of Romans, Paul talks about the depravity of mankind. We'll talk about that in a little while. And how that man found himself in sin because of willful disobedience unto God. But yet God made a way whereby that one can be redeemed unto God through the precious blood of Christ Jesus today. Now Paul comes down to the end of this book, and he leaves something for each and every one of us who have been saved and those that are unsaved today. In the 12th chapter of the book of the Roman letter, we want to start with the first verse. He says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." That was Paul's desire then. I believe it's God's desire today for each and every one of us. And he goes on a little bit further and he says, "And be not conformed to this world." Now pay close attention to these next few phrases penned down by the apostle. "Be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And our thought will come from just a portion found within that second verse. "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be ye transformed. You know, we're coming up to a very, very busy time of the year. And I'm not here today to waylay or to criticize or to bring up the folly of this season, because I believe in and of itself, it honors two things. It honors thanksgiving unto God. And surprisingly enough to us, it might be that thanksgiving unto God is for the next holiday and the center of that holiday, which is the entrance of the Lord Jesus Christ being born into this world. In other words, I am thankful that God sent His Son into the world to die for our sins, that through Him we might have eternal hope in heaven. The only problem that ever comes out of it, and I don't want to say that it's a problem with the season, but sometimes a problem with us. You know, there was a comic strip back years ago that said something to the effect, the name of it was Pogo. I don't know, you probably didn't read the funny papers like I did all the time. I should have been studying, but I had the comic books out. But Pogo would make this interesting statement. He said, "We have met the enemy, and the enemy is us." So it's not so much the season, but it's how that sometimes we kind of lose sight of what it is and what it's about. As we get closer and closer and closer, we get busier and busier and busier. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But I believe today we have to center on what that season is about, what that celebration is about, what that hope is about. And sometimes it's very hard to do whenever that the culture tells us that we must give this, we must give that. If you don't have the latest iPhone from Apple, then you don't love your loved ones. We get that kind of message from them. But I want you to understand today that we live in a world and a culture that's not a whole lot different than what the Apostle Paul saw himself in and preached in and evangelized in and reached out in. Because we're becoming more and more like the culture that is pushing God to the side, pushing Him away and forgetting about Him. In Paul's day, they were given unto idolatry. They were given unto paganism, unto heathenism. They were given unto such things that I can't even speak about in mixed company. They were without God. They were without hope in the world. And that's where the gospel needs to go to. But nevertheless, this is the type of culture. And you know, in a respect and in a sense, it's the same way with us. More and more and more, we're finding that the world tries to conform us, tries to shape us, even to the point that you can get along with us if you agree with what we agree with and what we perceive to be truth. Everybody has their own bit of truth. If your truth happens to coincide with mine, that's great. But if your truth is not like my truth, then I've got an argument with you. But I want you to understand there's one absolute truth. And the world will not say that it is such. But there's only one truth. There's only one way. There's only one life. Jesus said it himself in the 14th chapter, in 6th verse of the book of John. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So they try to conform us. We're being conformed. We're being shaped. In other words, we're to get along with society and culture. Now, I'm not here to preach today that we need to be rebellious and we need to be cantankerous towards the world, just that we understand why that this world, this society, this culture is the way that it is. Not a whole lot different than it was in the Apostle Paul's day. Not a whole lot of difference. Because we're seeing it shaping us, and even to the extent that we are to agree with things that used to be 50 years ago wrong, now they're right. And things that were right 50 years ago are no longer right, they're wrong. It's just a reversal. It's just an exchange. And this is what Paul found himself in. And there's a pressure upon us to conform to it. If you don't think like I do, then you're an outcast. And I'm going to stand against you. Or I'm going to paint something on your church walls. Or whatever the case might be. But I'm not here to talk about this because of this altogether. But Jesus said in one place, he said, if they hated me, and they hated him in that day and in that time. He revealed unto them the truth. He revealed the love of God. But he also revealed the truth about them. He opened up that it's not with the mind that we serve God. He opened up to them that it's not an outward type of ceremony that we do. But he says it comes from the heart. And the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto salvation. And with the mouth, confession is made that salvation is of God. You have to be a possessor before you can be a possessor. I'll get that backward. But you'll have to be a possessor before you can be a professor. You know, I could go into a school at this very moment and tell them I've got my PhD in chemistry, but I really don't. I'm not a possessor of that. And I can't profess it. And I want you to know that's how it is with salvation. You've got to possess it. You've got to have it. You've got to repent of your sins, your condition before God. And someone will say today, can I just join up and just be baptized and so on and so forth and sign a card? And I'm not here to criticize anything, but just to preach what the Bible says. And that's all I know today, is what the Scriptures teach today. Paul, when he stood on Mars Hill, made this comment unto those that had built an altar unto the unknown God. He said, the times of this ignorance God has winked at, but He commands all men everywhere to repent of their sins and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because this same Jesus will someday be judge of all mankind. Now, the world is trying to get us away from that. That central fact, that central gospel. Satan doesn't want it preached, but he'll try to dilute it out. And he'll try to get us to go along with the culture and all of its evil and all the things that it is doing right now. And as we said, that as they hated Christ, they'll hate us. But I want you to know that we are to stand firm in what we believe, stand firm and stand for that we know to be the truth. And the Bible tells us in one place that after that we're saved, we're to have the mind of Christ. Now, what was the mind of Christ? It's contradictory to what this world teaches today. But the mind of Christ we can find over in the book of Philippians. The Bible tells us, let this same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We are a child of God now. And we have that ability. We have that put within us, that we can say that we are a child of God. If you've been saved, did you know that you're a child of God? You most certainly are. I don't care, my friend, what the world says to you. If you've been saved, you have an inheritance. You're a child of the King. My friend, you are co-heirs with Christ Jesus and heirs of God. You have the possession, my friend, that the prophets prophesied about. And he goes on and he says he made himself of no reputation, but he took upon himself the form of a servant. We are not only sons of God and children of God, we are servants of the Most High. We are servants unto God, and we're servants unto our fellow man. And I'll tell you, if there ever was a time that we be not conformed to the selfishness of this society, this is the time where we need to be servants unto one another. We ought to be able to spiritually sit down with someone that's in need and wash their feet. Now, someone will say today, well, my lands, you mean take their socks off and I'll just, wash their feet with a bowl and everything? Well, if God leads you to do it, you better do it. But I want to tell you something today. You can wash somebody's feet by showing kindness unto them that the world doesn't show. You can wash their feet, my friend, by sitting down with them and weeping with them over the loss of a loved one, over the problems that they're having, maybe financially, or the loneliness that they're having because that they have lost a loved one and that they are by themselves. That's being a servant unto mankind. That's being a servant of God. You are the extension. You are the extension of God's mercy and of God's love today. You know where the people see God the most and understand God the most? They understand Him not just by the Scriptures, thus saith the Lord God, but by our behavior, by our actions, by what we do in the world. And you know, if you give yourself over day by day unto God to say, Lord, I'm going to serve You, whatever You want me to do, somebody will come in your pathway that needs very much a hug or needs the true love of God expressed unto them. And you know, there used to be a song back years ago. I always kind of marveled at it when I was 16 years old. I didn't understand it, but I kind of understand the sentiment now. That song went something like this. What what the world needs now is love, sweet love. I'm not talking about the love that the world defines today. I'm not talking about the love that Hollywood puts out or that they put on Netflix or whatever the case might be, but it's the pure, unadulterated love of God. It's the love that sent Jesus to the cross. It's the type of love, my friend, today that caused him to taste of death for each and every one, to sacrifice himself. And sometimes for us, it takes a sacrifice. It takes, my friend, leaving self by the side and, my friend, sacrificing not just our possessions or anything, but we sacrifice our time. We sacrifice our effort. Because I want to tell you something today. This world does not see love in the places where that it supposedly is placed and demonstrated. They need the love of each and every one of you today. Didn't mean to say all that, but God gave it to me.
Amen.
Nevertheless, I want to tell you something. Today, we're to die daily. We're to die daily. Now, someone will say, I don't want to die. Well, neither do I. But I'm talking about dying unto self. That's what happens in repentance whenever that we are saved by the grace of God. We die to self. We die, my friend, to our own aspirations as to how we want to be saved. And my friend, we surrender over unto God and God saves our soul. It's the same thing afterward. We're being transformed. We're not. We shouldn't be conformed. And I say this to you today because I don't see that in you as being that you're conformed unto the world. But my friend, beware that the world doesn't dictate unto you that if you don't get little Johnny, you know, his iPhone, you know, on time, that you don't love your son. And I'm not against that today. But my friend, let God be the one that transforms you. Let God be the one that conforms you. Let God be the one that helps you to show that love that we're talking about unto a lost and dying world. Most of the time, whenever that we see someone is homeless, we kind of figure, well, they deserved it. They're just not enterprising enough. Or perhaps they're just lazy. Or whatever the case might be. Well, if that's the case that they are lazy or they're doing a con job on everyone, they still need God. Because what puts it into their mind to act like that? It's the prince of the power of this world, and they need to be reached with the gospel. And yes, I want to tell you something. One of the best things you can give to them today is not so much money to go buy a McDonald's, but my friend, to give unto them a cup of water in the name of the Lord and give them a Bible and tell them your experience of salvation. Tell them how that God saved your soul. Tell them there's a reality to knowing the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And someone will say today, well, I don't know that I find that in the Bible. You know, the disciples, two of them, went up to the temple. And there was a man that was infirm with sickness. And you know, he looked unto them, you know, for something, you know, some sort of penitence. That's what their lives were like then. They wound up beggars. And you know what those disciples said to him? Said, silver and gold have I none, but as such I give unto thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that in that, they were able to demonstrate and preach Christ. You know, it had such an effect that, whoa, here come the Pharisees, and whoa, here come the Sadducees. Somebody's preaching Jesus out here. Boy, I wish that it would return to those days to where the people are stirred and they think that we're controversial because we talk about the love of God. And we don't talk about the love of Netflix. And I'm not against Netflix. I like to watch. I like to watch The Great Escape on it. But I want you to know that we're to die daily into this world, the Bible tells us. And one of the ways, Lord, that we can do that today is that we can pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Someone will say today, you know, preacher, I've heard this from you before. Well, it's still the same today. We need to pray with unceasingly, in other words, especially in this day and time, whenever that the world is vying for our attention and trying to get our mind off of the most important thing during this time of the year. Now, I'm not telling you today that you shouldn't go to Walmart or you shouldn't go to Sears. Sears is out of business. Whichever one you go to. That you shouldn't go there, I'm not telling you that at all, but my friend, our priorities ought to be with Christ Jesus and Him crucified to a lost and dying world. Preacher, you're making it sound like we ought to go out and we ought to preach Christ. I would that you would go out and, my friend, ask God to bring somebody in to your pathway that the conversation would turn towards the eternal things. You might say, well, I don't want to be like this group out here that goes door to door with a Bible. My friend, maybe we need to go door to door with a Bible. I don't know. But I want you to know that we're to die daily unto self and say, Lord, use me this day for somebody. You wouldn't believe the number of times that I prayed that. Not that I'm anything today, but the number of times I prayed that and somebody's come up in the pharmacy, they get their prescriptions and they say, come here, I want to talk to you. And they tell me about what's going on with them. Things that would just break your heart. Things that would just get down. You just put yourself into those people's places. That's the mind of Christ. The Bible says that Jesus went about doing good. He wasn't conformed unto the world. My friend, I want to tell you something. He was the Son of God. And that same nature can be in us. But they would tell me about how that a child died. Or they would tell me about how that their loved ones are very sick and they don't see any hope for them. And they're taking care of them. They're watching them waste away. I could write a book about it today. And you know what I started doing? I started saying, if you come over here, if you don't mind, I'll pray with you. I can't solve your problem. I can't, but I know one who can. And I know one who can get you through it. And I want to tell you, that's what the world's looking for today. They're looking for somebody who cares. Like that Jimmy Davis song that says, someone to care. My friend, that's how that it is with not being conformed unto this world. I believe we're to daily meditate upon God. The Bible tells us over in one place, David himself said it. He said, I have set the Lord before my face that I shall not be moved. David thought about the Lord. He prayed to the Lord. He sang to the Lord. Everything that he did with the approval of God. He didn't just say lip service to God, but he said, I've set the Lord before my face that I shall not be moved. Everywhere I go, God is the one who will lead me. No wonder in the book of Acts it says about David that he was a man after God's own heart. Be one today that's after God's own heart. And then we find today, get down into the scriptures, and you say, preacher, you preached that to us before. But you know, in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, the Bible tells us in one instance, where then in Thessalonica that Paul was rejected, those in Berea that was close unto where Paul was preaching, they searched the scriptures daily. They searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were so that Paul and Barnabas and the disciples were preaching about. They searched them. And you know, the more that you fill your head with the Word of God, the less that the world will have a hold upon you. And you know what? It'll transform the way that you look at the world. You'll see people the way that Jesus saw them. You know, I believe that Jesus looked, my friend, beyond the appearance. He looked beyond what they were doing and how they were. My friend, he wasn't afraid to embrace the leper and heal him. My friend, that same mind can be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. They search the scriptures daily. Jesus himself even said it. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and these are they that speak of me. That's being transformed. That's being molded into what God wants you to be as a child of God. As one that's been transformed on the inside through the grace of Almighty God. Thanking God daily for all that He has done. The most important thing of all to thank Him for is to thank Him that you've been saved by the grace of God. I want to tell you something, my friend. There's a lot of things that I could thank God for, but there's one that I cannot thank Him enough for. And that's the fact that He reached down to a 17-year-old boy who was as lost as could be, who was in utter darkness, who was without God, confused about, you know, what I'm going to do in the world and not looking very good. I want to tell you that God reached down from heaven and He saved my soul. That's the best way that I can describe it. He saved me. Now, your experience of salvation might be a little bit different than mine. And I want to tell you something. It boils down to this. Peace with God. Peace with God. Being reconciled unto God. That's what salvation boils down to. And if you don't have that peace with God, my friend, as we said before, this altar is always open. That we'll pray with you, but it comes down between you and God. It comes down to an experience of grace between you and God. But I want you to know that I'm thankful every day that God graciously saved my soul, because He could have just utterly cast me aside and said, "You've gone too far, and I'm not going to have anything to do with you." But I want to tell you something. There's no forgiveness like the forgiveness that God can give through His Son. There's no better feeling, the way that I can explain it, than to have that feeling that you know that you've been saved and you passed from death unto life. There's no greater feeling. And I want to tell you something. In that day, and I'm just kind of stepping out here just with my own testimony, but I didn't know what I was going to do at the age of 17. I was going in senior year. I thought I knew. I had it all planned out. But then, you know, there were circumstances going on during the 60s and during the 70s. I had no idea. I had it kind of planned out. But down deep inside, I didn't know what I was going to do. Until that, my friend, God convicted me of sin. The problem was not so much what I was going to do. The problem was that Paul Kofer was not right with God. And I want to tell you something. If you're here today and you're lost and you're not right with God, you can get right with God. Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's what the Bible says today. And I want to tell you, He put that down within me. When I left that store warehouse after being saved, my lands, I didn't care if they shipped me out to Vietnam. I didn't care if my teachers wouldn't pass me in school. I didn't care if I never made it to Kirksville to go to school. I didn't care. All I was happy about was the fact I was saved by the grace of God. And let come what may, Lord, You have saved me, You've redeemed me, and I know it. I know today. And then we're transformed by things from the scriptures, what we meditate and think on today, but also the Bible tells us in one place, singing spiritual songs and hymns to yourself, making merry in the sight of God. I'm thankful for our song service today. I just about, Sister Karen, just about fell over and started putting my face to the ground worshiping God for that song about Jerusalem. And you know, I'll probably go home singing that. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your heads today, for your King is coming, and your King will come today. My dad, I'd ride with him. He did two things. At first, it kind of aggravated me. He chewed gum like it was going out of style. but then he would hum hymns. I couldn't quite make out what they were, but he would hum a song. And I asked my mom, I said, "Mom, why does Dad hum so much and kind of sing kind of low?" Said, "Have you ever listened to what he's singing?" And I said, "Well, I can make out some of it. I know that it's not 'I Walk the Line.'" Or, "Hey, good looking, what you got cooking?" But I said, "I can make out some of it." And she said, "He's singing Amazing Grace, because God saved his soul. And he's singing When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There. Where We'll Never Grow Old." That was his favorite song today that he would sing. And you know, after that I learned that, I thought, he's just rejoicing all the time. And you know, we could do the same thing whenever that we get to thinking about it. We get to thinking about what God has done for us and the goodness of God that he's done for us. We get to thinking about our salvation, my friend. Sometimes I don't care if the driver next to me or next to you would wonder what you're doing, who you're talking to. You're not singing to them, you're singing to God. Amen? Sometimes we get embarrassed that they're going to think we're crazy. And I used to tell people today, "Well, they may think I'm crazy, but I'm saved and crazy." But I am so thankful today. "Be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, day by day, that you might prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God bless you all, is my prayer. If there's anyone here today that's lost, that you don't have that peace with God, or you're not sure what it's about, like I said, this altar is always open. It's always open. There's never a closed sign on the altar of prayer towards God. But if you feel your need of coming and praying, we'll pray with you. We can't do it for you, but we can sure pray and ask God to save you and ask God to supply whatever that you stand in need of. And so, Sister Karen, we might have a song. And Sister Carolyn, I got your name right. And let's all stand as we sing this song. If you're here, God's dealing with you, we invite you to come.